Blog Talk Radio.
Maybe your music could be a little bit. You're probably a little bit open with the
and hating and opinionated, loners in basements and those congregated, deliver me. Far from the peaceful shore I was sinking, deep in the ocean of thoughts they were thinking. I don't know what validation I was seeking. Deliver me from people. When you said you could heal me from anything, did you mean people? Deliver me, 'cause I can't point them out. I won't say their names. I don't the damage or which one to blame. Is just people deliver me. She was the reason I smiled in the morning. He took the last bit of joy I was storing. That's too much power for anything human. Deliver me from people. No, you can heal me from anything. What about
Christian Podcast Network, your global transformation station. Good evening, everyone. I'm Apostle Shalene Cook, and it truly blesses my soul to welcome you all here to Wounded No More for another Thursday, March the 23rd, 2023. Now, my brothers and sisters, I beseech you to get something to write with and to write on, and prepare to receive a Rhema word from your host and facilitator, the anointed Pastor Vanessa Carver.
Thank you, Apostle Cook.
Welcome, everybody, to Wounded No More. I just thank God today for this series, Forgiving What You Cannot Forget. It is one of those series that is going to go on, and it's based on what you do with it. Today is the last installment of forgiveness, unforgiveness, and the topic. We talked about so many things, and I was trying to decide whether I wanted to summarize over the last couple of weeks or if I just wanted to end. And one of the things is I will do kind of a combination of both. I think if anyone was following this series or if you can remember some highlights, those are the things that I just want you to encourage. I want to encourage you to dwell on and keep working on those things. Keep letting God deal with you in these areas. As you know, the author of the book called Forgiving What You Can't Forget, Terkeurst, her last name is Terkeurst. Every week I feel like I butcher her last name. But if this is one of the series that if you want to go back and do it on your own, please do, because you will get the benefit of it. Forgiving What You Can't Forget also has a workbook that goes along with it. She also has videos, all types of things that go along with this series. I will have to say, and I don't say this about every book other than the Holy Word of God, this book has changed my life in so many ways. And of course, it is full of the Word of God. But as we were following the chapters, I think it has like 13 or 14 chapters, and she uses, and then we were using the journal and the workbook from time to time. It was only as a reference. I want everyone to know that devotionals are good, workbooks are good, journals are good in themselves, but they're not the end be all of everything. Use them and don't be regimented, and let God begin to deal with you and expand those issues. Because many times when I would prepare for the class, I'd be stuck on one piece and I'd be like, that's something I'm going to go back and nibble on for myself, because this is an issue that we deal with individually. But from reading this book, this is like the second time I'm reading it. This is a lot of times manifested collectively. We don't realize how when you get a bunch of unforgiving people together, what it creates versus getting a bunch of forgiving people together and deciding to forgive and creating hubs and places of strong unity in the body of Christ. Because I'm not talking necessarily about the world or people that, you know, that Christ is not the center of how they live their life. I'm talking about people in the body of Christ. That's why I started this series, because I am so concerned about servant leaders and servant leaders that are leading with these issues. Guess what? They're human. Guess what? They still need to be addressed. And guess what? They shouldn't be ashamed of dealing with those types of things. We are around a lot of unhealed people. Mm-hmm. And what I realize is that we have normalized being unhealed by calling it something else. And to talk about unforgiveness and bitterness is just a tip of the iceberg. I'm going to dedicate the rest of this year on talking about many topics that keep people wounded, from rejection is one of them, and to the spirit of rejection. We're going to talk about, I thank God for Apostle Cook beating down the spirit of fear and anxiety. She's been teaching about that, and it has been very, very good and very, very powerful. These are the things that God wants us to address. But there's a lot of unhealed people, and we've made that the norm, and we've normalized it, and we're dysfunctionally functional with that issue. So I just want you to know the main thing that I really want to say, and I will be reading a lot of scripture tonight, because, hey, that's more than just the salve. That's the answer. So it's the Word of God and learning to apply the Word of God. And, you know, when I would listen to the Word of God a lot, when I was dealing with my own stuff, sometimes for me, I had to read it, and I had to read it out loud, and I had to listen to other people reading the Word, and it just really healed my heart, and it made me feel safe in a place where I was wounded, where I was pretty beat up, and I was doing a lot of that beating up on myself too, actually. And these are the things that we've talked about. We've talked about bitterness. We've talked about unforgiveness. We've talked about grudges. We've talked about so many things. But we've also talked about God's power and God's grace, what is and forgiveness, the power of his love. We've talked about praise and worship from a place of freedom. We've talked about reconciliation. We've talked about humility. We've talked about a lot of stuff, everyone, beloved. We've talked about a lot of stuff over the last couple of weeks. So I am not going to even, I'm not going to even attempt to go back over that, but I will just start with how we have to choose to live in this place of freedom. Maybe even in some people, some of us, we have will become ambassadors as it pertains to this issue. Truly, for me, I feel like I am one by default, so to speak, because I think when I started to heal, I start to be able to see how other people were hurt and were hurting and were hurting other people. And I'm like, okay, I know I was one of those people, but as servant leaders, it was weighed heavy on my heart, more so because not only are we not taking care of ourselves by dealing with our own issues, but we're bleeding all over everybody else and that we serve. And it's not good. It's not good at all. So I said, Lord, help me to focus on this so that people can be free. But this is a freedom and a victory that we have to decide to live in, to forgive so that I can live. I need to forgive so that somebody else can live as well, not just you, not just me, but someone else. So when our love walk begins to radiate from the Lord and then from ourselves and then to others, that's when you really can say, you know what? I am so glad that I've decided to forgive because there, like I said, we are surrounded by a lot of hurting people inside and outside the body. We have to choose and declare that the word of God is one of those foundations that's going to keep us grounded in this. It's just a regular part of our life. It's not something that is, well, today I'm going to forgive. It's living a fasted lifestyle. This is a key component of it. So we have to decide to leave those things behind and pick up our cross and follow the Lord. And many times, one of the things, as I was reading through this journal and going over my notes, even from the last 2 years that I read this, I was like, it is a journey. And a lot of times we don't know how to be patient with ourselves in it. We think that we will forgive and then everything is all right. We've only just begun. And that's one thing I've learned. So every time when I pray about this topic, I say, Lord, strengthen us in your holy word. Strengthen us to just have a love for your word and a hunger for your word, to walk it out and show us more practical applications every day, how we forgive and what is the repercussions of forgiveness. Because we always know, we pretty much know what the repercussions of unforgiveness is, but show us, Lord, because some of us need that to encourage others and to encourage ourselves. What are the repercussions of forgiving one another? You know, we please God, of course. Yeah, we know that. It pleases him. But I truly believe that touch one, reach one, touch one is also our outreach is a big part of this forgiveness piece. And you become sensitive to things you didn't think you were sensitive to. So God's word is powerful and effective to cut through all of the justifications that we use to stay mad, prove our case, wallow in unforgiveness, and handle things in our flesh, because some of us do that. It's possible to live a different way. And we have to decide and know and look for that when God begins to heal us, those things that we didn't think we could get to or that was available to us or become clear, the repercussions of forgiving. Just choosing to say, I'm forgiven. I don't care how hard it is, I'm going to forgive. I noticed that when God knows that you've made it up in your heart and you've determined in your heart first to forgive, he begins to help you carry the load of what that may mean for you, of how to unpack that for you. I know that to be true. He will come alongside and enable you. Humility is a big part of this. Because in humility, we begin to build strength. We know what that looks like for us. individually, if we never experience what true humility is, this is one of those areas where humility is a great asset because it allows us to stay teachable. You won't learn some things when you start forgiving people.
Yes.
You better believe it. You are going to learn some things you've never learned before. And that's what I want to encourage everybody. You'd be surprised how much you haven't learned, how much you haven't seen when you have no unforgiveness. What's available to you, not just spiritually, but even as it pertains to your intellect and what you have the capacity to learn and do. That also is one of those things that you will learn. You'll learn a whole lot. So get ready. The moment that you decide to forgive is the moment that God decides to show you some things and teach you some things about who he is as well as about who you are.
Yes.
That's a powerful place to be because it enables you to be what? A better servant leader. It allows you to be more available to be poured into so that you can pour out. Have you ever thought of a person, you know, how they give that analogy about being half full and half empty stuff, and they said sometimes when people look at everything as half empty, they have more of a pessimistic view, and those who look at things as half full, they're more optimistic. Well, that's a nice thing, but spiritually, this is how I look at it. You don't know what your capacity is in the Lord until you start to forgive. Your capacity to love, to learn, to understand, to work, to heartily unto the Lord, to focus, is going to really open up. And I want you to be encouraged to know that you will grow. But growing pains don't feel good. They're growing pains for a reason. But that's one of the things that you'll realize. In Psalms 4, it talks about, in pride, the wicked man does not seek him. In all his thoughts, there is no room for God. So remember how we talked about humility, but pride crowds out the strength of God. So we have to understand that humility and pride don't reside together. So wherever you're struggling, I just want you to be encouraged. 2 Corinthians 3:1-7 promises, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And so we have to know that in those places of vulnerability, the Lord is closer to those of a broken heart. He is so close to us when we are struggling with things. And it says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. It's your choice. You said, that don't even make no sense. I'm brokenhearted. I'm depressed. I'm downcast. You know, different things that people find themselves in mentally and emotionally when they are dealing with unforgiveness. But the Bible says about forgiveness, how we are absolutely commanded by God to forgive because we are forgiven by him. So we can't forget that, right? So that is a mandate. That's not a choice. So we bear with one another and forgive one another. If any of you have a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave. These, you know, when the more you read the scriptures that she has collectively put together in this book, everything to me is like a fine thread. Everything is so carefully put together to help you understand the mosaic of it all. The scriptures is a powerful thing. And at the same time, God is undergirding the power and the sovereignty of his word, which is one of the reasons why it's not just salve that you would put on a wound. It's life. It's life. It's active and alive. So I'm going to start reading some scriptures to you all, trying to pull them all together so you will be encouraged. If you want to, please feel free, of course, and encouraged to go and do your own list of anything as it pertains to this topic and study the word in context. Study the whole scripture, not just the verse, and see why Paul was saying what he was saying and see if that's relevant to you because it is. It is. The word is going to be relevant to you, but learn how to study it so that you can understand it. Forgiveness is a part of the prayer Jesus gave us for our daily routine. Doesn't it say that, you know, the Lord is, you know, the Lord's Prayer. It says, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done, in earth that is in heaven. And then it says, this part, I'm just going to skip over, forgive us our debt, as we forgive our debtors. And that means just what it means. Forgiveness is an intricate part of even the Lord's Prayer. He didn't leave it out. And if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. And so Matthew 6, verses 9 through 15 is a part of the Gospels. So we have to understand that if he forgives us, you know how people are always saying, and I know Apostle Cook has said this many times, and the author also mentions it too, and then I've heard other people mention it too, other leaders talking about, stop trying to forgive yourself. Receive the forgiveness from God. That's it. That's the issue. Mm-hmm. Forgiving of yourself is not even available. You don't have it like that. But you can be receptive to be forgiven. Don't let yourself get in the way of being forgiven by God so that you can forgive others. She calls it vertical forgiveness and to extend horizontal forgiveness. Just like vertical love and horizontal love. Learn how to love. Be receptive to the love of God and learn how to love others horizontally. And I love how she said that because I've heard that term used for love, but she said vertical forgiveness and to be able to horizontally forgive. That's how it's supposed to work. I look at it this way. You get poured into so you can pour out. You get poured into, you receive forgiveness so you can forgive, not just so you can just say, okay, God forgave me, I'm forgiven. I see people wearing those shirts as I'm forgiven. And I would want to see on the back of the shirt, and I can forgive because I am forgiven. Mm-hmm. Let's take it a little. You see how we always got to take it a little step further. You are forgiven, so you need to forgive. You don't got to forgive yourself. You need to receive forgiveness from God. And that will help you move past all this stuff that we wallow in that has to do with pride, and that's self. Even low self-esteem is still pride because you're wallowing and you're focusing on the wrong thing. Receive the forgiveness of God. Be empowered right now in the name of Jesus to understand really what that is and believe and know that it's available to you. I have to stop right here because I really feel that the Lord is really saying some people just don't get that, and either they don't want to get it or they just need it to be broken down so that they can, and so that anything that's getting in the way, sometimes it's guilt and shame that gets in the way of them just simply receiving forgiveness. It's a choice. It's nothing that you have to try hard to do. You either say, okay, I'm receiving the forgiveness of God. It may not feel like anything right away, but if you purpose in your heart and sincerely say that, you will. So many people struggle with that, Apostle. They really, really do. And I did for a long time and didn't even know what my problem was. But the more that you hear certain people, if you listen to them under their words, they think that they need to forgive themselves to move on. That is error. Right
yes,
there.
It is.
And
yes.
Some people are wound up and tied up in that very thought process, and it's throwing them off. And I'm talking about servant leaders. I'm not talking about people that don't know, that are not in the body. They even may be strong in the word as well. I'm going to go as far as say that. But they struggle with this, that piece. They don't know how to receive the forgiveness of God. Mm-hmm. And to me, what's next? They probably don't do very good at receiving the love of God either. So I just had to hit that hard, and I realized that is a point of intercession for people.
So true. So true.
And so how can you really serve from that place of debt where there's a deficit and an impediment there?
Say that.
So what really takes place is something else you've replaced it with because you're not receiving the forgiveness of God and you're not receiving his love. So what are you pouring into the people? So it's just like God gives us all the answers. You know what I mean? So when we begin to read his word and start understanding that he has given us the mind of Christ, we can critically think about this topic. We can read the word and critically think about it and say, I'm not receiving his forgiveness. What is the deal? The shame. Sometimes, a lot of times, it's shame and guilt. It really is. That's one of the things. And then I want to read in 2 Corinthians, she says, praise be to God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For just as we have shared abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comforts abound through Christ. So we were part of that fellowship, you know, of his suffering. That's part of our walk. We don't suffer for no reason. We don't go through things for no reason. It is to help us. So if you know what? God healed my heart from unforgiveness. I know, and I suffered for it. Some of it was because I brought stuff on myself because I was compensating for that level of unforgiveness, and some things were just, you know, you were a victim, and that's real. And so some people go through a whole lot, but it's to cultivate a level of compassion for people. You don't want people going through, and I think that God started dealing with me a long time ago about servants that were struggling hard mentally, not just with this topic, but just seeing them struggling, and it's like they got all the wrong tools. Have you ever seen somebody fix a car and they got stuff to cook, to make a cake? You look at them like they was crazy. Like, you don't got the right tool to fix that car.
Exactly.
Or some mechanic bringing in his toolbox and trying to cook. So we are not using the right tools when we are not a lot, first of all, if we're not serving from a pure heart, and anything that gets in the way of that heart, of our heart and how we serve, we need to address it. Please forgive me if I feel like I'm going off course, but God just wanted me to hit that really hard about the things that we pour into, to pour out of, how we love, how we forgive, how these things don't work. We may convince ourselves that they work, but they don't work.
Amen.
They just don't.
Amen.
And
we've
made ourselves think that they do. So just know that everything you've gone through as you begin to heal is not in vain. God is going to use that. Let him use it. Let him use it the way he wants to use it. And he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. And in Psalms 147:3, how he heals us and the brokenhearted binds up our wounds. So it's not a place of that we will always stay. God wants to heal and God wants to restore. In Romans 8, verses 26 through 28, talks about releasing the burden. It says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts, he knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. There's a saying a whole lot in this scripture, but who have been called according to his purpose. The Spirit helps us in the places of weakness. I tell you what, I think one of the reasons why it's hard for some people to forgive, because you feel very vulnerable. You're just raw. When you are struggling with that Spirit, whether it's bitterness, even though people come off real tough and hard, it's a very vulnerable place. And so they have these mechanisms that they cope with. They have things. They have a facade that they put up. And it's not the whole armor of God, that's for sure. But I see those people as very, very weak.
Well,
and this is where God shows up and is strong. Depending on the level of trauma that they have gone through, or whatever they're struggling with, or betrayal. We don't know what people are going through. Whatever it is that keeps them in that place, they become hard, but the hardest person has got the softest center. And usually, for some of them, it's a place that they see as weak. I just say vulnerable, very, very vulnerable. And so God sees it. And so I think as we minister to people, the harder they are, the more vulnerable they are. When you get to know them, you realize that you may see that small child, you may see a grown man in the natural or a grown woman in the natural. But when you get to know them, when the Lord allows you to see their vulnerability, sometimes you see a child.
A woman.
You really begin to see a child.
Yes.
And so I think it's our job as servant leaders for one another, how we bear with one another and bear up under one another, is that we allow people to be safe in vulnerable places. You might be a hard, mean person. I went to church as a kid with a lot of mean people, a lot of mean old women that were Sunday school teachers, let me tell you. But they were just as mean. And I'm like, they couldn't write kids. You know, they
were scared of them.
We were scared of them, and they would pinch you and pull on you. And I'm like, and I remember, and I was like, okay, so whatever that's about, Lord, I don't know. As a kid, you just don't know. You just stay away from them, stay out of their way. So, but as I became older, right, and you talk about different ones, especially I think African-American people, period, our life is trauma, filled with it historically. Just the things that people have gone through, we don't know. Some people are still dealing with grief and loss. They may be widows. They may have been abandoned. We don't know. And they are in church because that's what they know to do. But they're as mean as all get out. Mm-hmm. And really, when you look at it, I said, they got such a hard shell. You can't get through. But when you begin to know them and talk with some of them, they got a lot of hurt for all kinds of reasons. It's not always anything to do with anything with church. It could have to do with their childhood, their life, just living hard, you know, forever. And I feel like they're vulnerable. So I said, Lord, show us in the body how to be safe, please. Show us how to be safe for people in the body of Christ, especially for those who are coming in new. Show us how to be safe and create safe places and safe communities with people. Please. That's been my prayer for
love. Show them love.
Show them love. And show them love the way you want us to show them love. Now,
amen.
She talks about,
amen.
And I think that she talks about something, too, I wanted to bring out about not taking revenge and different things like that, and being passive aggressive and things that people do. All that just means is you still got some stuff to work on, brother or sister. You still got some stuff to work on if you feel like you need to retaliate. Do not take revenge, my dear friends. This is in Romans 12 and 19. But leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay. Don't do God's job. And don't be sitting and waiting in the wings and hoping and praying that the people get what they deserve. I'ma show them they gonna get everything they deserve. And that, to me, you got to be careful of that spirit. I'm telling you, because you reap what you sow. That's all you got to believe. But if you sitting in the wings and watching and peeping and hovering and hoping and praying, something is being created in your heart. That's not good. Don't sit around. People don't get, you know, it's not good. So be careful of that if that's something you struggle with. It says when they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. Now, we talk about how Jesus didn't retaliate. He's the perfect example. In 1 Peter 2 and 23, it talks about when he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly.
Yes.
Listen, I know this is hard for some people. To not confront, to not shut down, to not clap back, you know, or to not say anything and keep all that to yourself, because people do some ugly stuff publicly, and what you want to do is retaliate publicly. So I get it. But you have to let God show you how it's important for not only for you to let him take care of that, but for him to, so you can guard your peace. You need to have peace right now. And so that you ain't going to have peace if you barking and going back and forth with people and hovering and simmering. That's what I call you, simmering. That simmering pot still burns. So you have to don't sit anywhere simmering and hoping that people get what they deserve and cursing people and all that kind of stuff. You know, I say, well, you reap what you sow. Hopefully you reap and learn. That's what I say. I'm like, hopefully you learn from it. God have mercy on your soul, period. And that ain't even up to us. So sometimes, you know, when people go through stuff and they've done things, they're going to get it. You better believe it. So, but just don't be that person who sits back and simmers and watches that and tries to retaliate. That's not going to help your healing. And live peacefully with everyone. If it's possible, as far as it depends on you, that means it's a choice.
Amen.
Live in peace.
Amen.
Live in peace with all people. And that's in Romans 12 and 18. If it's possible, means that's the clue. It's a choice. It depends on you. Reminds you of what you must do to make it possible. Do what you can. Do what you can. Don't worry about, well, they not doing and they not going to. I already know. Just do what you can. Just do what you can. You know, just God saying, okay, that ain't got nothing to do with what I told you to do. Don't worry about what they may or may not do or may not respond. And she also says, and she mentions in Romans 12, 14, 15 through 17 and 19, what we're supposed to do. Okay, this scripture is something that God showed me last year, not even last year, probably about a couple of years ago, about how doing this is not only something we should do in the body, it's just something we should do, but it's a strategy. Okay? Bless those who persecute you. Do not curse. Do not be proud. Do not be conceited. Do not repay evil for anyone. Do not take revenge. But there's one that says, bless those who curse you. Pray for those. You know that one I'm saying? And please excuse me if I'm not going more into detail, but that's a strategy that Jesus was talking about. Bless those who curse you. I need to find that because it's certain parts to that. I almost look at it as an equation: to bless, to pray for, to do good, right? To those who despitefully use you. God said that's a strategy. That's a strategy. Mm-hmm. It's almost like a football. I see, you know how they get in the huddle and they start saying, okay, this is what we're going to do. This is what we talked about. We're going to do here. Mm-hmm. Quarterback do this and all that. I see it as truly a game plan. It's a strategy to bless those who curse you and pray for those who despitefully use you and do good to those who, you know what I mean? That scripture, that is a strategy, and that's something that will help you along the way. And we're to forgive 7 times 70, which means continuously. That's just what he was saying to emphasize, always just to forgive. Just always. You're forgiven, so you need to be forgiving as well. And it says, watch out for yourselves in Luke 17, 3 through 4. If your brother or sister sins against you, rebuke them. And if they repent, forgive them. Even if they sin against you 7 times in a day and seven times comes back to you saying, I repent, you must forgive them. You must forgive them. Just forgive them. I truly believe if you make this part of your lifestyle, this is how you live your life, what you'll find is it will, not in everybody, I'm not going to say everybody, it'll create communities of where people are safe. It'll also bring people to places of their own repentance. Don't mean you have to have a view or be an audience. You may not never know that they will repent, but it's at the end of the day, they need to repent before the Lord for things that people have done. Some people repent on their deathbed. That ain't none of our business, whether they do or not. It's just that I think that we need to believe that they will, especially if they are serving leaders in the body of Christ. And we need to be there for some people. Some people will say that they will actually say that they're sorry to that other person. Some people are broken up about it. And have you ever had someone come to you or known of this scenario where somebody has actually apologized to the person that they've hurt? And it has been a grievance. And when I say, I just stepped on your toe, no. Repeated abuse, trauma, different things that people have gone through. Some people have stolen from other folks. They've done some really horrible, horrible things, levels of betrayal. And it does your heart good that not only did they, you know, acknowledge it, but that their soul will be saved. I've heard so many people say, I'm concerned about their soul. I'm concerned about the level of bitterness that they live in. Mm-hmm. And they think it's okay. So when they come to places of repentance, that's a powerful place to be. And it's a powerful place to be with them in it, where they may come to you and you can tell, you know what, Lord, I can tell they really are broken up about this, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So be there for them and comfort them and strengthen them, you know, because there are going to be some that will be the beginning of your reconciliation in your relationship. It may never
mm-hmm.
be the same. I'm not going to tell you that, because that's not, I can't tell you that. But there are some relationships that will never be the same. And we got to be okay with that. We got to
yes.
be okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things
yeah.
that I was reading today was she was talking about reconciliation is sometimes available, but sometimes it is not.
That's
it
right.
does not mean
mm-hmm.
that
mm-hmm.
you have not forgiven that person. It does not mean that you've done all you can do. Sometimes, first of all, it's not smart to reconcile, because that situation or that person may still be the same.
That's
and
right.
So you can't drop, you know, don't go back to something that God pulled you up out of, you know. But you can still
yeah.
say, you know, I have to draw some boundaries here. Get healthy boundaries and learn what that looks
yeah.
like for you. See, a lot of times if you're, when our brother and sister do sin against us, we have to learn conflict resolution. And according to the word in Matthew 8:15-18, it says, if your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault just between you and them. And if they listen to you, you have won them over. But if they will still not listen, take one or two others along so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. And if they still refuse to listen, tell it to the church. And if they still refuse to listen even to the church, treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector. Truly, I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven. Don't have heartbreak about certain relationships or issues that may not be reconciled. If you know in your heart you did everything you were supposed to do and you forgave them, you forgave the situation, move on. And don't dwell on certain things that God has totally severed. Some things God
mm-hmm.
will sever, and he'll tell you that. Like, that's done. Move on. Still love them, forgive
mm-hmm.
them, but reconciliation is not available here. And he'll tell you that. And maybe some people need to pray about that. Maybe they need God to show them in certain cases what relationships are reconcilable, what and which ones are not. Because I've forgiven, Lord. I've moved on. I'm healing. Do I still draw into that relationship? And then you always hear friends that fall out. I've heard this when we were in school and even when we were older. Like, we would fall out with one of our friends, and depending on how bad it was, sometimes we just pick up where we left off, right? And sometimes we'd be like, this relationship ain't even the same.
Mm-hmm.
It's not. And that can be sad sometimes. But don't let it be heavy, and don't let it put you in a place where you're distracted and draw back into more foolishness, because sometimes it's just not going to be. I want you to be encouraged to know that to live in a place of forgiveness and is a new way to live. It's a freedom. So how can you have those old relationships that were abusive, destructive, or maybe you've grown spiritually and the other person hasn't matured and moved on, and they constantly in stuff, and you're like, I ain't doing this with you. I love you and everything, but I can't go backwards. I'm not going backwards.
Amen.
So the relationship won't be fully reconciled, and that's okay. You've grown. You're going to grow more for it. So there's so much I want to read, but I'm going to also open it up for anybody to comment about what they gained, not just from this series, but just what God has been saying to you about this topic that you would want to share with the world, because I know that people are listening to the archives and listening to this later on all over the world.
Amen. Amen. Well, we want to just first and foremost, if there is anyone in the the studio that would like to have a word, please press your 1. We do have members of the Spirit Alive family in the house supporting Pastor Vanessa, and we will get to you. But first, before we do that, I feel that we really need to speak to the lost right now and those who have not asked forgiveness. Maybe there was someone sitting in the chat room or listening via their computer that really needs to go to the Lord right now and ask him for forgiveness and receive the forgiveness. Don't let your guilt, don't let your shame, don't let what you think other people might say or think about you keep you from going to the Lord and making him your Lord and your Savior. Tomorrow is not promised to you. So do it today. And for those of you that are feeling, you know, that you do have bitterness, you do, you know, you do hold grudges, you do have unforgiveness, and you just don't know how, well, Pastor Vanessa, go back and listen to these, her series. She has imparted much wisdom. And then first and foremost, go to the Lord and ask him to show you how to begin to forgive, how to begin to pray even to forgive. It's not always easy, and it's not always pretty. So, Father God, we come right now, first and foremost, thanking you for your servant leader, Pastor Vanessa. Lord God, we thank you for the words, the wisdom that she imparted, Father God. And we pray, Lord God, that people all over the world has received this, and we believe that they have received this, Lord. We believe, Lord God, that they can apply it, Lord. It was imparted in a way that they can understand it, so they can receive it, they can apply it, Lord, and they can share it, Lord God, with others. They can help to disciple others to become stronger in you, Lord God. We want to thank you, Lord God, for the spirit of reconciliation. We want to thank you, Lord, for the choice to forgive. And, Lord, I pray that everyone within the sound of my voice has chosen to forgive, has chosen to be free, has chosen, Father God, hallelujah, to not stay a prisoner to bitterness, to not stay a prisoner to resentment, to not stay a prisoner, Father God, to anger. So, Lord, we just praise you for all of those who are being healed, who are being delivered, who are being restored, Lord God. We want to thank you right now for all of those, Lord, who have humbled themselves, who have said they are sorry, Lord God, and are truly mean it. We want to thank you for all those servant leaders who strive, Lord God, to do as you tell them to do and to be transparent, oh God, and to deal with our own stuff so that we can help others to deal with theirs. Lord, it's not a crime to be human. So, Lord, we just pray for the servant leaders all over this world. We pray, Lord God, that they would become transparent and be led by the Holy Spirit. We pray, Lord God, that we would create an atmosphere of love where people can feel safe. They can feel accepted no matter what, Father God. And that's up to us. Each one of us must choose, Father God, to be that demonstration of love for our brothers and our sisters and for the lost, Lord God, especially for the lost. So, Lord, we just want to thank you now for all that this lesson, this series will do for your people, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for the empowerment. We thank you, Father God, for the encouragement. We thank you, Father God, hallelujah, for the victory. So we just praise you right now in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, we do have Mother Mitchell, we have Minister Adam Tuggle, and we do have Deacon Isabel, William Isabel in the house. They came out tonight to support Pastor Vanessa. So if anybody has anything to say, your mics are unmuted. All the Spirit Alive servant leaders' mics are unmuted, and you are more than welcome to share your thoughts in this last final 7 minutes of the program. Anybody?
Well, I would just like to thank Pastor Vanessa. It has been a wonderful series. I think I have a whole composition book full of notes, but I'm just learning so much, and I think I've missed one, but I'll go back and listen to it. And I thank you, Pastor Vanessa. It's been such a wonderful, wonderful learning experience. And you said something today, it made me kind of laugh because I remember saying it to myself. Even though the pot of our hearts are not on boil all the time, simmer can also be hot. It doesn't mean it's cooling off. It's just not boiling with the same intensity as a full boil does. But believe
That's
me,
right.
it's hot. God, thank you for the learning. I thank you for so much teaching for me that I need to know and be cognitive of. And even at my age, I'm still learning. And I thank you, and I thank God for you.
Amen.
Thank you.
Glory to God.
Mother Mitchell.
Glory
I appreciate
God.
That. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you, Jesus.
I think different generations need to know it's never too late. I love it.
That's right.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
So
Minister Tuggle, we still have a few minutes if you'd like to share a word.
Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise
God.
Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God for the lesson on tonight on forgiveness. I just want to share this real quick because I'm actually going through that. So I thank you, Pastor Vanessa, for teaching on this. One of my family members who has gone on to eternity had a issue with this individual because they weren't there and whatnot, and you know, down through the years. And I remember my father telling me about my other family member that I was having the same issue with, and he told me to forgive, you know, love them in spite of what they do. And I had to use that for this time right now, this season that I'm in of the loss that I'm of my family member. I was at their funeral and I was thinking about all of that stuff that was built up inside of me. I just let it go. And the scripture that came to mind is in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. Be angry, but sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath.
Yeah.
You have unforgiveness.
Yeah.
If you have unforgiveness, do not hold it. And you, because the day you hear the Lord's voice, you could miss the mark by holding in unforgiveness. That's where the Bible says, let not the sun go down on your wrath. But you can be angry. You know, the Bible says be angry, but sin not. And holding unforgiveness is a sin. And you can miss the mark if you hold unforgiveness.
Amen.
Thank you. We don't realize all the things that we foster or that we cultivate when we have bitterness and unforgiveness in our hearts, and it does manifest into sin. It will.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing. Thank you, Pastor Minister Tuggle.
Yes. Yes. Amen. Amen. Anyone else? Deacon, you more than welcome to have a word if you like.
Well, Carver, I want to thank her for teaching or preaching her lesson. It was excellent. And I think as Minister Tuttle described, there is so much anger in the world that forgiveness is subject matter that all of us need to approach and to seek. So thank you, Pastor Carver very much for your lesson.
Yeah.
Hey, it's
man.
Good to hear
Lord
you.
God.
It's good to hear you, Pastor Minister Asbell.
Brother Asbell, good to hear you.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. We just
want to
thank everyone. Yes, go ahead, Vanessa.
Pastor. Yes, Apostle Cook, I want to say one thing, but I want to pray this as a declaration and more to encourage people. There are emotional and mental strings to this lifestyle that people that need to be cut. And I pray in the name of Jesus that these emotional strings and ties and alliances be cut. Not just to the unforgiveness, but why do people do what they do and hold on to unforgiveness and call it something else? Or I'm taking sides, so mama don't forgive, so I'm not going to forgive them either. I hear this in the spirit. There are things that we've done traditionally and held on to things that have emotional ties and false alliances to them. I pray that they be broken in the name of Jesus, that people's eyes be open and that the scales fall from their eyes, that whatever is keeping you, even if it's guilt and shame, that be exposed and that it be broken in the name of Jesus.
Yes,
thank
Lord.
You, Pastor.
In the name
yes,
of
Lord.
Jesus. Amen and amen.
You, Lord.
You have indeed been listening to hallelujah Pastor Vanessa Carver for With Wounded No More. We just pray that you really take heed, take the encouragement and use it to strengthen you. The word of God will always strengthen you. And she came precept upon precept, okay? So we just praise God once again for the mighty woman of God. We want to thank all the Spirit Alive family that showed up. We want to thank all of you that were in the chat rooms or listening via your computer. We pray that you continue to follow us here on the Spirit Alive Network, and we pray that you study to show yourselves approved. You acknowledge Christ in all that you do. And from our household to yours, it is our fervent prayer that you be ye transformed. Good night, and God bless you from all of us here at Wounded No More and the Spirit Alive Network. Good night, beautiful family. God bless you.
Good night, everybody. Thank you.
Pastor.
God bless.
Good night.
Have a good weekend.
Love you, Sister Vanessa.
Love you.
Love you, everyone.
Love you, too.
Love you.